Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mashulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. Tonight, we see how strong a family bond is in The Offer. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. Winter froze Chicago in early January. The cold seeped into a person's bones. But this cold didn't stop two old friends from meeting up for coffee. It was Mia's first day back at the law firm. It had been a month since Calvin's funeral, and staying home was driving her stir crazy. Diana had known Mia since second grade when her family moved from Atlanta. She'd been Mia's maid of honor 3 years earlier. When she heard Calvin had died, she was the first person to arrive to help Mia. Neither had dealt with grief on that level. "How are the kids?" Diana asked. She sipped her warm tea. "As good as can be expected. They started back to school 2 weeks ago," Mia replied. "That soon? They just lost their father." "That was my reaction, but the psychologist said it would do them good. They wanted to go back anyway," Mia explained. "Have you decided what you're going to do? You know, about the kids?" Diana inquired. "You mean, what am I going to do about my kids? I'm going to be their mother for as long as I'm alive." "Oh, come on. I'm not trying to make you angry, but you were only married to Calvin for 3 years. He was 25 years older than you. You have your whole life ahead of you," Diana argued. "I know you weren't a fan of us marrying, and I know your opinion of kids, but the age thing didn't matter. We loved each other, and I didn't just marry Calvin. I became a part of the family. Plus, they lost their mom, too. I can't just leave them," Mia snapped. "But what about their grandmother? You said she wants custody. Didn't she call you a tramp or something?" "She called me a big-titted, gold-digging whore. Joke's on her. Calvin was broke when we tied the knot. I paid for most of the wedding. If anything, he was the gold-digging whore." "That's not the only part of the statement that's not true," Diana smiled. "You're right. My tits are average. They just sit a lot higher than hers do." They both laughed. "I get it. She lost her daughter and son-in-law within a few years, and this complete stranger is raising her grandkids. It's a lot. But she's 80, Mia revealed. "And you don't think she could handle three tweens?" Diana chimed in. "No, I didn't, and neither did the judge. I'm worried that she might be sliding into dementia, to be honest. Like I said, I know you don't get why I'm committed to them, but I am," Mia stated. "I know. I'm sorry. I can't help myself, though. A 23-year-old woman marrying a 48-year-old man seems wrong to me. Now you're stuck with three kids when you should be out living life. If their grandma wants custody, I say let her have it. You don't owe them anything," Diana pushed. "Wow, Diana. Their grandmother is 80 and wouldn't be able to keep up with them. I married Calvin because I loved him. I knew what I was getting into. I accepted the age difference. He never hindered my dreams. I still became a lawyer. We can still go out. Eric is old enough to babysit the other two. I made a vow to Calvin and those kids. They're my responsibility, period. I'm going to raise them. I already won full custody, so that's that. Now please shut up about it," Mia warned. "Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to look out for you. I know you're smart and you have a good job, but being a mom to three tweens isn't easy." "Nothing worth doing is easy," Mia replied. "Again, I'm sorry. I'm a jerk sometimes. Everything's going to be fine." "I appreciate that, Diana. You know, you should come over Friday. They could use an aunt," Mia smiled. "Oh, God, no. As I stated, I'm no fan of kids. Besides, Friday is my movie night with Walter," Diana stated. "I think Walter will be fine. Poor cat needs some time alone. Come over. Being around kids will soften that stone heart of yours." "Come on, Aunt Diana." "Fine, I'll be there, but I'm not an aunt. Mom's cool friend is a better fit. I can be the one they come to with questions about the birds and the bees," Diana smiled. "Nope. You tell them to come to me," replied Mia. "I get that. You're more qualified being a gold-digging whore." They both laughed. Mia came through the door with bundles of law books. There was a mountain of research for a case that needed to get done. It was good to be working again, she thought. Eric came to the door to help. At 13, he was the oldest. He took a bunch of the books. He'd been through a lot. He and his dad had been arguing before Calvin's death, and guilt weighed on him. Losing both parents made all the kids grow up way too fast, thought Mia. "Thank you, Eric. Just put them on the table," Mia directed. "Okay, how is work?" "Good. I can do most of it from home, which helps. Let me get dinner going." "Did you do your homework?" she asked. "Yep, all done." "Perfect." Mia had fish sticks, peas, and rice cooking. It wasn't the meal she wanted to serve to the kids, but it was the meal she knew how to make. She wasn't the cook. Calvin was. She set the timer and then noticed the kids were being quiet. She decided to check on them. Charlotte and Luna's room sat across from Eric's at the top of the stairs. Mia found the girls' room empty. Eric's door was slightly cracked. She could hear the whispering, but she couldn't make out what they were saying. She peered in before knocking. The kids were sitting in the middle of the floor, legs crossed, facing each other, holding hands, their eyes closed. A candle sat in the center of the floor. She knocked. "Hey, is it okay if I come in?" A moment went by. "Yes, Mia," Eric responded. She pushed the door open to see that they were all now standing facing her. The candle had been blown out and put on the dresser. "What's up, guys?" "Nothing, Mom," Luna answered quickly. Luna was the youngest at 10. She was an imaginative kid, always seemed to have her head in the clouds. She warmed to Mia the fastest. "We were just talking to Dad, asking him if we should stay with you. Grandma says we should live with her, that you're not really family," Charlotte added. Charlotte, the middle child, was 12. She had been the most hostile towards Mia, constantly fighting with her at every turn. After Calvin died, she seemed to soften a little. "Okay, well, what do you mean talking to Dad?" "Oh, you know, sometimes it feels like he's with us, and so we talk to him. Does that make sense?" Eric offered. "Yes, it makes perfect sense. Your father will always be a part of you. As for Grandma, what do you think? Do you want to live here or with her?" "We've decided to stay with you, though we'd like more food besides pizza and fish sticks," he said. "Fair. I'm working on it, I promise. I'm glad you all want to stay here. I know this has been hard, but I want nothing but the best for you. I know we can work together as a family," Mia reassured them. "We'd like that too," Charlotte agreed. "I smell burning," Luna added. "Oh no, dinner." The fish sticks hadn't survived Mia's cooking skills, so pizza was ordered. The kids seemed quieter than normal, exchanging glances as Mia tried to start conversations. They all finished at the same time. It was Eric's turn to do the dishes, but the second he was done, they all disappeared. Later that night, Mia sat at the kitchen table with a million words of case law in front of her. The work was a much-needed distraction. Engrossed in her research, time slipped by. Late night settled in around Mia and her mountain of files. Her eyes became heavy and she fell asleep. The sound of thunder boomed, startling Mia awake. It was 3 a.m. The wind howled. It was pitch black. The fire had burned out. One of the kids must have turned the light out, she thought. Using her phone light to see, Mia flicked the switch on the wall, but there was no power. The wind faded. Time to check the fuse box, she thought. The basement was still packed with Calvin's belongings. Boxes of clothes, books, and knickknacks were piled high. She didn't want to throw anything away. It was too soon. She carefully made her way through the maze of memories to the fuse box. Flipping the switch, she could see that the kitchen light had come on. At the top of the stairs, she saw shadows. "Charlotte, is that you?" No reply. Must be seeing things, she thought. Back upstairs, she found small bloody footprints leading to and away from the basement door. The kids! She raced upstairs, but found them all sound asleep in their beds, covered head to toe. "I don't understand." The footsteps end at their doors, she thought. She looked down. The blood was gone. "Great, I'm losing my mind," she mumbled. The kitchen light clicked off again. What is with this fuse, she wondered. She never noticed the shadowy figure standing in the corner, watching her. Each stair creaked an old wooden groan. Her cell died, the light went off. Damn it, should have charged it, she thought. Once back in the kitchen, the light turned on by itself. Mia screamed. On the floor was a pentagram drawn in blood and black candles. She ran back up the stairs. "Eric, give me your phone. I need to call 911. "Why? What's going on?" Eric asked. "Just give me your phone, Eric," she demanded. He handed it to her. "Yes, I need the police here now." The cafe was busy with morning orders. Diana could see Mia was exhausted. "What happened after you called 911?" Diana asked. "The police arrived. They called me down to the kitchen. There wasn't any blood or candles. I scared the hell out of the kids for nothing. They think I dreamed it due to stress, but I know what I saw." Mia was shaking as she lifted the coffee mug to her lips. "You've been under a lot of stress. You're suddenly a single mom of 3 kids. You lost your husband. It's understandable that you had a nightmare," Diana reasoned. "Are you saying I'm crazy?" "I know it was there, Diana," Mia insisted. "Okay, I get it. But again, do you want to get punched in the face?" Mia warned. "I'm just trying to help," Diana protested. "Want to help? Believe what I'm telling you," instructed Mia. Okay, so there was a bloody pentagram on the kitchen floor, bloody footprints, black candles, and a fuse that kept turning off. Sounds like a ghost to me. You don't believe in ghosts. I don't have a mundane way to explain it, Mia. Me either, unfortunately. Calvin always believed in that stuff. He said his grandmother used to visit him after she died. He claimed his family were all wizards, that they knew magic and talked with the dead. I always thought he was joking, but now? What if his soul is trapped here? I know you don't believe in these things, but I do. The question is, why scare the hell out of me? I loved him with all my heart. I would think he'd want to talk to me. I don't know. If you say it's not a dream, then I'll back you up, but ghost is the only other explanation. Unless the kids did it, Diana stated. They were asleep till I screamed and ran back upstairs. I frightened them. What are you going to do next? I'm having cameras installed Monday. Till then, I was hoping you'd stay with us. You know, like a good auntie would. Mia smiled hopefully. You want me to be around kids in a haunted house for 4 days. I don't know. Please, we have a guest room and everything. Plus, you know how to cook. If I get pizza one more time, the kids might kill me, Mia pleaded. Wait, I'm cooking, fighting ghosts, and I have to be around kids? You'd better be ready to put out. They both laughed. Diana went to the store before arriving at Mia's. She had been subjected to Mia's food before. Diana grew up an only child and never had to share anything with siblings. She'd admit to being spoiled young. Her parents kept her busy in endless classes during the summer. Swimming, piano, martial arts, cooking, computer camp, all in 4 week increments. She liked cooking the best. By high school, she made all the family meals. Culinary school in France opened her eyes to the fine dining scene. She stuck it out, but didn't like the vibes. Instead, Diana started a burger joint downtown, open weekdays for the lunch crowd. The place was always packed. She had a 5-item menu and 3 well-paid workers. It was the life. She hadn't told Mia everything that happened in France. She'd met a woman named Elizabeth and fell in love. She even thought about staying, but they had a nasty breakup, which broke Diana's heart. When she got back, Mia seemed so happy about getting married that Diana kept it to herself. What are you cooking, Mia? Eric asked as the 3 kids came through the door. Diana stuck her head out, Luna's face contorted. Who are you? Luna asked. That's Diana, Mom's friend. You don't remember her? Charlotte asked. No, I don't think so. Where's Mom? Luna was still confused. Are you eating with us or just helping Mia out? Eric asked. Before Diana could reply, all 3 kids were in the kitchen looking over everything. One question at a time, detectives. I'm making a roast. It will be done in an hour. Your mother asked me to stay for a few nights. She's upstairs sleeping. You don't see me because I'm not fond of children. I think that covers it all, Diana rattled off. What's wrong with children? Inquired Luna. They ask too many questions for one. Now, go do your homework and let me finish cooking, Diana flashed side-eye. Dinner was an overwhelming success. The kids asked a million questions, and by the end of it, Diana felt dizzy. Mia was grateful for food that wasn't frozen before it was cooked. The 2 sat in the living room. The fire danced as they drank wine while the kids played upstairs. Admit it, they're not so bad, Mia smiled. I admit nothing, Diana smiled back. The wind suddenly kicked up. Snowbanks rose against the house. The lights flickered for a moment. It was getting nasty outside. Glad he stocked us up with food. This blizzard is insane. It said it was supposed to be a sunny weekend, Mia lamented. We live in Chicago, land of wind and snow. This is normal. I guess. I just don't like it, Mia said. The door to the basement slowly swung open. Both women looked at each other. Okay, which kid is messing with us? Asked Diana. Kids, are you in the basement? Yelled Mia. No, Mom, it might be Dad, they replied. That's not weird at all. But hey, they are calling you Mom. It is weird. They heard a loud noise. What the hell was that? Mia jumped. I think it's the wind, Diana replied. God damn it, I hate this haunted house shit, Mia said. Calvin never liked me. Maybe he wants me to leave? Diana said with a smile. The basement door slammed shut. Okay, I don't like that, Diana admitted. Voices started to chant from upstairs. They mixed with the wind's howl. The lights went out. Kids, come down here, please, Mia called. No response. Kids! The fire blew out. The house shook. The voices stopped. Calvin, if this is you, I'm sorry for all the bad things I ever said about you, Diana said. She'd never believed in ghosts, but that was beginning to change. Mia started for the stairs to check on the kids. Diana followed. You're not leaving me down here alone, Diana insisted. Luna watched them climb the stairs, her hands behind her back. She had an unsettling grin on her face. Luna, are you okay? Did the others shut you out of the room? Mia asked. No, Mommy. Eric and Charlotte had to talk to the man about Daddy and told me to wait out here. What man? Diana went past Mia to the kids' door and tried to open it. No luck. She began to knock. Kids, is someone in there with you? No reply. What man, Luna? Asked Mia. The horned one. He's a demon that owns Daddy's soul. He's going to give him back if... Kids, you need to open the door now, Diana yelled. If what, Luna? Mia pressed. If we give him you and your friend. It was a good thing your friend came over. He wasn't going to let us have Daddy for just one soul, Luna replied. Luna then revealed her blood-covered hands. Magic symbols had been carved into them. Right then, the door swung open. In a flash, Charlotte stabbed Diana in the stomach. Diana yowled, reeling back into the hallway. Before Mia could react, Charlotte grabbed Luna by the arm and pulled her into the room, locking the door behind them. Diana slid to the floor. Blood gushed from the wound. Oh my God, Diana, no! Mia rushed to her side, using her hands to try to stop the bleeding. Blood strained through her fingers. I told you kids were assholes, but no, you had to play mommy. Diana cracked a smile. The color drained from her face. This isn't them. They're in danger. I need to get into that room. Charlotte just stabbed me in the gut and you're worried about them? Mia, I'm bleeding to death here. I'm sorry, you're right. Lay down, bend your knees. It will take pressure off the wound. I'll get towels. Diana let out a moan of agonizing pain as she lay flat, knees bent. Mia ran down the hallway to the bathroom for the first aid kit. The kids' door opened again. Eric and Charlotte grabbed Diana's legs and started pulling her into the bedroom. She screamed for Mia and grabbed the door jamb. Mia turned to see her friend desperately trying not to be dragged into the room. No! Leave her alone! But before she could get to Diana, they pulled hard and she was gone. The door locked. She pounded on it. God damn it! Let me in right now! She started throwing her body against the door. The third attempt dislocated her shoulder and she fell to the ground. The kids began to chant. Diana let out a scream and then... silence. Blood flowed from under the door in a steady stream. Mia started to cry. She knew Diana was dead. The door unlocked and opened again. Mia found herself staring into Diana's dead eyes, her face contorted in agony. The children stood near the corpse looking back at Mia. They all held knives now. Eric spoke first. Mother, it's your turn. Mia bolted downstairs to call 911. She pulled out her phone, but it was dead. The kids made their way into the living room. They spoke in unison. Mother, Auntie's dead. It's your turn. Father wants to live again, so you must die. They moved closer. Stay away from me. I'm not dying to bring Calvin back. Mother, we must sacrifice you to the Horned One for the spell to be complete. You wanted to be our mother, didn't you? You must suffer so we have what we need. That's what being a mother is all about. Luna jumped up on the couch and launched herself into the air. Mia quickly grabbed a lamp, ripping the cord from the socket and slammed it straight into Luna's face. She crumpled to the ground. Mommy, why? Luna cried, her face bleeding from a gash on the cheek. Because you're trying to kill me, you little shit! Mia ran. Eric and Charlotte followed. She made it to the basement door, locking it behind her. Her lungs were on fire. Her arm hurt like hell. Her best friend was dead and she just smacked a kid in the face with a lamp. This nightmare had to be the longest she'd ever had, she thought. The basement light flicked on. At the bottom of the stairs, a man with two large horns stood. He was dressed in a fine black suit. Who are you? No one to be trifled with. Mia sat on the top stair. What now, you kill me? No, the kids must sacrifice you for the spell to be complete. You told them that they could bring their dad back? At his request. He married you for that purpose. He wasn't joking when he said he was a wizard. Bastard! I loved him. I loved them. Love doesn't matter to me. Only the sacrifice, the Horned One hissed. If I'm the one marked for death, why did you have the kids kill Diana too? I saw an opportunity. I'll give you a deal, though. You kill those three little terrors on the other side of the door, and you can have Diana back. I can't kill kids. That's evil. I know. But come on. You, a woman with no earthly tie to them besides marriage, has taken on their care, and what do? They try to send you to hell to get their dad back? A man who put them up to it all in the first place? Maybe. But they're young. Their brains aren't even fully developed. They're going off pure emotion. That's a stretch. Throwing a tantrum or saying a bad word is one thing, but they just slit your friend's throat without a second thought. What do you think they'll do when they're adults? Their highway to hell has no off-ramps, I'm afraid. And if I say no, then I help them and watch them tear you apart like a rag doll. No, I'm not killing my kids. As you wish, the horn once said, smiling. He faded away, and the kids started to throw themselves at the door with inhuman strength. Cracks began to form in the center of the wood. It wouldn't be long before they knocked it down. Mia grabbed a bat and hid in the maze of boxes. The door broke open. Luna was the first to step in. "Mommy, I can't believe you'd hit me like that. I thought you loved me," Luna called out. "I always knew you were no good. You deserve to die, Mia," Charlotte taunted. "Just give up. It's what Dad wants," Eric added. Mia kept quiet, waiting. Finally, Eric passed by and she hit him to the ground with the bat, knocking him out. The other two ran towards the noise, unable to see over all the boxes. Luna rounded the corner first and Mia swung hard, hitting her in the shoulder and breaking her arm. She screamed in pain. Mia punched her in the head and Luna blacked out. She then turned, figuring that Charlotte would be nearby, but she wasn't there. "Two down, one to go, Charlotte." With no warning, Charlotte launched herself over the wall of boxes and crashed straight into Mia. She stabbed her stepmom in the back. Mia threw Charlotte off of her into a tower of old LPs. Charlotte recovered quickly and swung her knife at Mia, catching her arm. Mia lifted up her bat to smack Charlotte when Eric came up from behind, driving his blade between her ribs into her lung. Mia collapsed. The three kids dragged their stepmother up the stairs. She had lost too much blood to fight. In their room, they started their chant. Diana was positioned in such a way that the two stared at each other. Mia smiled at her friend as she said, "I should have listened to you." Mia gave it her all, but sadly it wasn't enough. Would you have sacrificed your stepkids to bring back your best friend? Let us know in the comments. If you liked this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, Fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.